Blog Talk Radio.
Holy Week series. We begin today with Palm Sunday, of course. One of the things that Christians all around the world celebrate. And I've been seeing these things on Facebook since last night of all these different cultures celebrating Palm Sunday with their different palm type creations. And some of them are really cool. If you haven't seen those yet, Just go on Facebook and you will see some of these amazing palm crosses. These are more than just the crosses. These are like big branches. Some have little flowers inside of them. And they're just beautiful. And perhaps it will inspire you to make some creation with your palm branches this Sunday. Now, I went to Mass last night, and I was ushering. And I got my palm branches after Mass, because we cleaned up after everyone. And all these people left their palms, and so I just took like two palm branches. I was like, okay, I'm out of here. So I come home, and last year I was like a master of palm crosses. Like, you will not imagine. I was making them left and right. People were coming up to me, like, hey, can you make – I was like, sure. I get home last night, and I get the palm branch in front of me, and I'm sitting there. And I'm thinking, how do I do this? Well, anyway, out of the three palm branches that I got last night, none of them are now crosses. what happened was this might inspire you as well. Every year I get this jar. It's like a ball jar, a canning jar, and I unscrew it and I clean it out well. And what I do is I take the palm branches, the palm fronds, and I just put them in this mason jar, the canning jar, and I put them in there. And then I get a handkerchief, and I put that on top and pat it down. And then what I do is I put a crucifix and a green scapular, because you don't wear the green scapulars. You just put them around, and I put the green scapular in there. I just put a little bit of holy water in there. I screw the cap on and put it under my bed, and it's a blessing. To have that and to find a way in those temptations, you know, that you may have around you all during the day, especially this week when you're on spring vacation and you're just sitting there like, oh my, what should I do? But we're going to start today with this reflection that I thought was pretty neat. And we're going to do one every day, every show, and then we'll go into our topic. But these are called the seven last words in your reflections. And we're going to do each word every day. So the first word is, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. It makes sense that the first word of Jesus from the cross is a word of forgiveness. That's the point of the cross, after all. Jesus is dying so that we might be forgiven for our sins, so that we might be reconciled to God for eternity. But the forgiveness of God through Christ doesn't come only to those who don't know what they are doing when they sin. In the mercy of God, we receive His forgiveness even when we do not know we know to be wrong. God chooses to wipe away our sins, not because we have some convenient excuse, and not because we have tried hard to make up for them, but because He is a God of amazing grace, with mercies that are new every morning. As we read the words, Father, forgive them, may we understand that we too are forgiven through Christ, as John writes in his first letter, but if we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all wickedness. Because Christ died on the cross for us, we are cleansed from all wickedness, from every last sin. We are united with God the Father as His beloved children. We are free to approach His throne of grace with our needs and our concerns. God has removed our sins as far for us from the east as from the west. And what great news is that? Here's some questions for you to think about today. Do you really believe God has forgiven your sins? Do you take time on a regular basis to confess your sins so that you might enjoy the freedom of forgiveness? Do you experience God's forgiveness in a fresh way today? You see, Holy Week is just a beautiful, beautiful time for all of these sacraments. We as Catholics have, you know, penance days. Mine and my parish is, I believe, Monday, tomorrow, from 5 to 8, and then on Good Friday from something to 9. And it's just a great way to say, oh, well, I'm off work now. I know the confessional's open. Okay, I'll go. Because most likely you're busy when they actually have confession. And so you get to your head like, okay, I'll go. And you start Easter anew, fresh, and clean. And it's beautiful that you're able to walk out, feeling the grace of God around you. But another thing that I would like to bring up is the Eucharist. Today we're actually going to talk about the Eucharist here. And I have to tell you that many people take this week as a vacation week just so they can relax. I challenge you all to go to daily Mass every single day. And if you can't one day to do a doctor's appointment or something like that, then you don't have to go. But I'm saying, if you can, or try, make an effort to go to daily Mass every day this week, except Friday because there's no Mass. But Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, go to Mass and receive Jesus. This recalls to my mind the little image that I'm sure some of you have seen before. It's like these little batteries, and it shows every day of the week. And it shows if you have the Eucharist once a week, how by the end of the week you're just wiped out of Christ. And then if you have them every single day, you're always full and energetic with the graces of God around you and within you, that you're able to walk in the path of the Lord. And you just feel so energetic that you want to spread and evangelize, even though you probably can't because you're home alone. I have this feeling that I want to take Holy Week, wrap it up in a bottle, and send it out. But I can't do that because I cannot find the words, the emotions, the expressions to put in the bottle to send out, because there's just so many. And if I was to write an entire essay on Holy Week, it would not do it justice. After the break, we're going to talk a little more about the Eucharist and how to get into our life this week. We'll also hear from a good friend of mine, Judy, as she shares one of her poems.
There's a way of life where simplicity brings joy and humility leads to happiness, where we learn that less is more, and in giving we receive. It's our refuge from chaos and light to guide us through darkness. It's a place where the broken receive healing and repentant hearts find mercy. Here, our days are set free from anxiety and addictions, and our nights rest with more peace. So, where is this hope, and who knows the way? Our hope rests in Jesus, and His church leads the way. If you're longing to fill an emptiness or seeking a way home, we invite you to experience the peace that only comes from God. We are Catholic. Welcome home.
If you are away from the church, not even Catholic, in discerning the religion, I wish to take you by the hand and bring you to the church. It is the most beautiful thing. And as we're celebrating this Holy Week, I recall last year preparing to enter into the church Easter Vigil. And I know what all these the elect are really feeling this week. I'm just happy to see that this year's candidates and elect and catechumens have grown so much. I mean, last year I think we had, don't get me right here, but 20-ish people just from my parish come to the church. And this year I know it's even more. And it's just beautiful to see. Pray for them this week. Keep them in your prayers. Because Satan is truly after them this week. If they don't show up on Easter Vigil, they're not going to be coming into the church. And Satan is going to do everything in his power to break their car down, to, you know, whatever it may be, for them not to get there. He will do. So we need to keep them in our prayers as they go undergo temptations this week, especially those who will enter the church. And all of us, as well as we are going to have as many temptations as we possibly can as we put a close to our Lenten journey. You know, it's something that my father, my priest, said at the very beginning of Lent. You come in the first week of Lent, and from Ash Wednesday to Sunday, if you're doing Lent right, you should have had temptations from Satan, and he should be attacking you a lot. And it's just something that we see as Catholics that, per se, other religions or other Christian denominations don't see that much, because they don't undergo that suffering and that temptation that we as Catholics experience. Going to the Eucharist once more, we have Jesus, body, blood, soul, and divinity. Jesus himself on Holy Thursday said, "Take this and eat of it. This is my body." He then said, "Take this cup and drink it. This is my blood." He did not say, "This is a symbol on my blood. This is a symbol on my body. This is a reflection on my body or my blood." He said, "This is my blood. This is my body." If he wanted it to be a reflection or a symbol, he would have said so. But he truly said, "This is my body, is my blood." And as Catholics, that is what we need to continue to live our life of spirituality, to live fully as Christians, to share the news to others. We need that development. We need that hole in us filled with the Eucharist every week. If we are away from that Eucharist and that filling, we know it. We understand that we are having withdrawal. And there's nothing that we can do to fill that hole like the Eucharist can. It's something that Jesus himself does. I'm sure if you've ever not been able to have the Eucharist one week, you're probably the grouch in the family that week. You know, you're just not fully connected with all the other people who have had the Eucharist that week. You're truly living as a disciple of Jesus, partaking in the Eucharist, evangelizing, and experiencing the faith one-on-one through confession, the Eucharist, living out your baptismal vows. By the way, you will renew those again on Easter. And it's just, we're in the week that changed the world. It changed the world 2,000 years ago. It's changing the world currently, and it's going to change you this week. If you get the Eucharist, if you go to confession, and you live your life as a Catholic, trust me, next week, when it's no longer Holy Week, you're going to be saying, okay, I'm going to daily mass every day this week. I want that week back because it is beautiful. I'm going to bring my friend Judy on to the show now. And if you don't know who Judy is, she's a big, awesome Catholic on Why I Am a True Catholic, which is a merging page between True Catholics and Why I Am Catholic. And put it together, you get why I am a true Catholic. So, Judy, welcome to the show. I think this is your first time on here.
Hi, Seth. Can you hear me?
I'm sure. Yes, I can. I can hear you loud and clear.
Okay, good.
And
thank you,
you
for asking me to be on your show.
Yeah. Oh, no problem. You're always welcome. Anyone's welcome. Call in. And we'd love to hear from you and what you have to say, and your thoughts and your emotions, especially throughout this week of holiness, the week that changed the world. And as we're talking about the Eucharist, Judy the other day, last week, she went to Mass, she went to Adoration, and she got this poem, and she got this Eucharistic miracle. And I'm going to ask her now to share that poem if she has it with her.
Yes, I do have it with me. To preface the poem, while I was at Adoration, I was praying the rosary, and I noticed something happening in the host. And I wasn't sure what I was seeing, so I changed seats so I could get a little closer. And as I looked at the host, I saw first the crown of thorns, and then the outline of the face of Christ, and it kind of slowly filled in where I was seeing more and more of the features, and I knew I was seeing the face of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that was the first time that had ever happened to me. And the Lord, as he often does, sent me a poem to go with this miracle, and I call it Adoration Miracle. I saw the face of Christ today. He spoke within my soul. He makes me clean. He makes me pure. He makes me blessed and whole. I saw the crown upon his head, the thorns which struck him down. Yet, oh, such peace I felt within. In his dear love I drown. I saw the face of Christ today, his rays upon me bright. And I shall walk forevermore in his almighty light. I saw the face of Christ today at Adoration's call. He is my Lord, my Savior sweet, my miracle, my all.
Wow. I've heard that. I've read it I don't know how many times. I've heard it on Donald's show I don't know how many times. And I'm sitting here listening to it, and it's like I'm listening to it for the first time. it's really that what the Eucharist really is when you receive it. You're receiving our Lord, body, blood, soul, and divinity. He's making you clean again. He's making you anew so you can try and to live by him and follow him. That's what confession does as well, is it cleans us and makes us new of all those wonderful things that the Catholic Church has for us so we can grow closer to our Lord, to his mother, and the church and the people around us. That poem, oh my goodness, it's like the Eucharist, confession, and everything the church has to offer in a bottle. And it still does not do it justice.
Well, I'll tell you, Seth, I love your enthusiasm as a new Catholic, I'm a lifelong Catholic, and that's a fairly long life now as I'm past my 70th birthday. And when you're a cradle Catholic, it's kind of sad to say you become sort of accustomed to all of these wonderful things. In a sense, you sort of take them for granted. And to listen to a new convert, to listen to that enthusiasm, you can't help but almost feel like a new Catholic yourself. The enthusiasm is renewed, and that's a gift that you share with us, your exuberance. just to be a little silly, I mean, you're almost like a kid with a new toy, you know. And I really, really appreciate the fact that you bring that enthusiasm into the group and into our lives. So thank you very much.
You know, what you said there, the kid with the new toy, it reminds me of this. I went to this retreat at my church, and we do these things called affirmation letters at every retreat. And you just get paper. Everyone has an envelope, and you can write them, you know, a little affirmation. And I remember seeing this one little piece of paper, and it said, "I love to see your childlike smile at church."
Yeah, yeah. Well, remember what Jesus said. He wants us to have a childlike faith, not childish, but a childlike faith.
So true. We need to renew that within us. If we, you know, are thinking about things that we have in the church, that we say, oh, well, it's Tuesday. I could pray the rosary, or I could go to the, I don't know, you could go to the grocery store. But you just went to the grocery store yesterday. And you say, there's always tomorrow to pray the rosary or to go to daily mass or to go to confession. And you put that aside. You're going to lose your faith in the church, and we're going to see that seed that you have grow smaller. And I love this example that I heard. It says, you know, you fall away from the church, and you question God, saying, "Why did you leave me?" And his response is, "I did not leave you. You left me. I've always been with you. I've always been walking behind you. I never left you. I was always there. You just closed me off and shut the door. But I was always with you." I think that wraps everything up. If you want to be living your life as you should, your life does not consist of going to work, going to school. It consists of your eternal life. I'm not saying you do bad at work and get fired, or do bad in school and get bad grades. You truly have to have that connection with God. Because in the end, you're not going to need your algebra 2 or your, you know, paycheck. You're going to want the eternal life that our Lord has to offer for you. And so as we enter into Holy Week, keep that in your mind. When you can go to confession, go to confession. When you can receive our Lord this week, receive our Lord. Body, blood, soul, and divinity. We'll see you all tomorrow at 12:30. Thank you, Judy, for calling in and sharing that beautiful poem with us.
Well, thank you very much for having me on the show.
And I should be posting my latest blog here, I don't know, by 10 o'clock tonight. And you can find that at thecatholicdesk.weebly.com. I will see you all tomorrow at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Until then, go to Mass, make your palm crosses, and receive our Lord. I think. Show, which some people do not know about. Rarely ones do. But this is truly the holiest week of them all. We as Catholics need to cherish that. That's all I have today. I have to go get ready for Mass, and I have to head out of here. Tomorrow we'll have a longer after show, I promise.